it's good to be here this morning to make sure that we are lighting the fire. You know how often we think, ugh, what's wrong with me? How come the fire isn't burning bright today? And just all the things that we get to do today and all the things that we get to hear. Sing that song. We just ask God to light it again. Make it fresh. Make it new. And He will. And just like Ben mentioned to us this morning, to start the day talking to our Lord and Savior. Start every day with just letting ourselves be aligned to Him. So that when we go out, we're carrying Him with us. Not just waiting to see what the world's going to throw at us and how we're going to react. But instead, making every conversation, every moment, to have divine purpose. Our talents and our gifts, our work, our conversations, our prayers, our sharing, our talking to others. Divine moments in which God gets to shine through your life into the world around you. So, it is a wonderful day, and it is perfect to be here and recenter and refocus on what God has done for us. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Let's go to Him in prayer, and then we'll take a look at some scripture that will help us do just that. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled because Jesus paid our debt of sin. Father, sometimes when we think about it, it's too much. It's overwhelming, the gratitude that we owe You. Father, I pray that as Your faithful children, that we will take the gratitude that we have in our hearts and turn it into faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that we take the gratitude in our hearts and turn it into praise. I pray, Lord, that we take the gratitude in our hearts and focus it to You and do exactly what Jesus told us to do, to love You and to love our neighbor. Father, we don't know why we're not stronger, why we're not more faithful, why we're not more careful. We don't know why we get so easily distracted. We don't know why we forget. Father, we bring to You our sin, our shortcoming. We receive from You forgiveness and mercy. Father, we thank You for setting us back up on our feet so that we may walk in the light of Jesus. And as we study Your scriptures this morning, I pray that they fulfill their purpose and come back to You bearing much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bible back up to 2 Peter. We're going to go back there. We're going to go back there this morning. I got one question I want you to think about today. I got one thing that I want you to consider. How you living? How you living? Or if that doesn't tickle your ear right, how are you living? How are you living? You doing well? You crushing it? You struggling? You get up each day and talk to Jesus and ready to tackle it? Or you get up each day wondering, how can I be more tired than I was when I went to bed? How you living? Is your faith stronger this week than it was last week? Or is it like navigating rocky shoals? Or each thing in your life just feels like a bomb just exploding under your feet. How you living? Today I want us to do that uncomfortable work of introspection. I want you to look at your own life. I want you to look at your own life. I want you to look at your own life through the lens of God's Word and see where you're at and see where you need to be more faithful. Peter wrote for the church, and I'm going to pick it up where Lance left off for us in verse 12, because he gives us his purpose. He basically says, look, I am writing you these things so that you can look at your life and determine how are you living. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, therefore I intend to always remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Well, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So look, Peter claims exactly what I claim before you each and every week. I am reminding you of things that you already know so that you won't forget. So that you won't forget. And, you know, sometimes we think about all the lessons that we've heard and all the sermons that we've sat through and all the times that we've read in the Bible. And we think, well, I've already read that and I've already seen that and I already know that. Yet we also walk with ourselves and know how many times we stumble during the week, don't we? We walk with ourselves and know how many times we just let God down. We just let God down. Or maybe we're struggling with a sin, a temptation. Why do I keep doing that? Why can't I find love for that one person? Why do they make me so angry? Why is it always that one thing that always just makes me fall? Why is it over and over and over? Why is that my shortcoming? So Peter says, look, I want you to know these things. I want you to know these things so that you will remember. So that you will remember. And in these verses, this is our guide to a spiritual health check. This is basically in essence to see how we're living. How we're living. It's a wonderful list. It's a wonderful set of scripture. And he starts it off and he says, may grace and peace, verse 2, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, the first thing I want us to hear this morning, church, is that our grace and our peace is multiplied in our lives by our knowledge of the Father and the Son. Our grace and our peace are not increased by ignoring the Father and the Son. And our grace and our peace are not increased by us focusing on everything that is wrong. That's not where peace is. You're not going to find peace in the world because the world doesn't know how to give what it does not have. The world knows chaos. It's all it has to offer. And so if we are not filled with grace and peace, that is a heart that is, you know the song, it is well with my soul. Think about your day. Is it well with your soul? When things happen to you, how do you respond? Do you respond in a faithful way? Do you respond in a, oh, here we go again. What else can go wrong? Or do you respond with a, huh, that's interesting. Look how God has chosen to shine His light in my world today. I wouldn't have thought of that. Given the choice, I probably wouldn't put myself there. But look what God does. He gives me this opportunity to shine His light through these circumstances. Nice play, Lord. Didn't see that one coming. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Not enough peace in your life? Guess what? You don't know Jesus well enough. having a hard time extending grace to others, you don't know the Father as well as you think you do. Me, in here, and me, out here. I feel okay about no matter what happens, and I treat others very well no matter what happens by how much I know and understand the Father and the Son. I hope you catch that. I hope you catch that. Because how many of our problems are us and others, right? I would say that's all of our problems, isn't it? Our heart's not right, so we don't have peace. And someone made me mad, so I can't show grace. May grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In verse 3, he says that his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Everything we need for eternal life and everything we need to be like him, to follow, to live, to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others, to love, to forgive, to show mercy and grace. Everything we need, his divine power offers to us. And what's it through? Well, again, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So the more we know the Father and Son, the more our grace and peace are multiplied. And the more we know the Father and Son, the more we have a good grip and a hold on all things pertaining to life and godliness. Now think about how much energy you spend on your life. Think about how much energy you spend on just all things you. All things you. And he said, the more we know the Father, the more we know the Son, that we'll be able to enjoy everything that God gives us pertaining to life and what he's up about, and what he is about. Look at verse 4. All of God's promises are to make us partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God's promises make us partakers of his divine nature. We've escaped the corruption in the world. Church, Peter's basically instructing all of us. In essence, he's saying, live now so that you may always live. Live now so that you may always live. And that connection of eternity and creation, that connection of things unseen and things seen, that connection of things that are what we think are temporary and eternal brought together in Jesus Christ. That God is making a way for us so that we can live. So that we can live here and now and then forever. And we do. We get tempted and we say, oh, well, Lord, just give me strength to get through the day and just come quickly and just get us all out of here. That usually comes on the heels right after a time in our life where we were, oh, Lord, I'm not really going to pray right now because I'm busy in the here and now. Right? But God has brought all these things together and he has made it so that we can share in his nature. So that we can share in his nature. He's put eternity in our hearts. He's let us know that death no longer has any power over us. We live. We live in this form now. We live in another form later. But all we know is life. And it says in verse 5, for this very reason, because God has done all these things, I want you to make every effort to supplement your faith. And then he gives you the list. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. So if you need to work on this week, if you need to check on how you're living, you can go individually through each one of those and say, am I adding that to my faith? Are those things seen in my life? Do they work? Are they there? Are they evident? That's a great check. That's a great check on how you're living. And then again, in verse 8, he brings up the knowledge of Jesus again. The knowledge of Jesus, these qualities are yours. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. So if we have the knowledge of Jesus and we have all of these things in our lives, we get to be two things for God. We get to be effective and we get to be fruitful. We get to be effective and we get to be fruitful. That means we're not wasting our time. We're not spinning our wheels, right? We really hate that, don't we? Don't you hate being put in a situation where you feel like you're not getting anywhere? I mean, maybe it was at work. Maybe it's at work, you do the same thing over and over and over, and you're being passed over for promotions, or things weren't working at your pace, or the way that you think they should, or how, or the timing, and we get frustrated, right? Or maybe it's in life or in relationships, and maybe you and your spouse are having the same fight that you were having 5 years ago. And you just look at each other and you go, what are we doing? Why are we still treating each other this way? Why am I still griping about this? Why are you still griping about this? Why aren't we making these things? Ineffective is not fun. We don't like being ineffective, right? Well, as per evidence of all the short people walking up here this morning. How about you parents? You ever been frustrated when you just keep on trying something and it doesn't seem to get through your kids' heads? It's frustrating, isn't it? Yeah, we hate being ineffective. Amen, amen. It just drives us crazy. Why can't I figure this out? Why can't they figure it out? Because not only do we feel ineffective as parents, and we're just like, well, how they are so ineffective as my kids. What's going on? We need to make sure these things are in our life so that we are effective and bearing fruit. Effective and bearing fruit. Now, I want us to turn over to the Gospels. Let's go over this morning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. As we think about this health check, as we think about our life in Jesus Christ and what it looks like and what it should look like, Jesus is going to bring all this to life, and he's going to make a declaration in John chapter 10 that is truly amazing and humbling. John chapter 10 verse 1. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Church, the voice of Jesus is true. The voice of Jesus is true, and that's who we follow. We know his voice. When's the last time you heard his voice? When's the last time you heard the voice of your shepherd? He's your shepherd. Jesus himself said, you follow him and you know his voice. When's the last time you heard his voice? How else do you know where to go? How else do you know where he's leading? Because it also says that he goes before us. He calls out to us. He calls us to follow him. He goes before us, and we go out and we go in the same direction that he goes. So how well do you know his voice? Jesus calls us to life. He calls us to life, and he leads us to life. Life eternal. Life transformed. Life changed. Life better, because he's in it. And again, this is This is not a thing where we should just walk away and say, oh, well, yeah, Michael's right. I should feel guilty about all the things I'm not doing. I guess I better work on some of that stuff. How about I am so filled with the knowledge of the Father and the Son that I want nothing more than to be with them. Yeah, they really are the best thing there is. And so I want to know them. I want to be with them. I want to walk with them. I want to see the things they show. I want to hear the things they say. I want to be where they are. In their presence. What if we lived our Christian life from that perspective? That Jesus Christ, God's only Son, is so good and outshines everything else that I can't think of selling myself short for something else. That I can't give myself up for something less. And so Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door. And we pick it up in verse 7. Jesus again said to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Jesus came so that we can have life. And not just live here and live eternally, but to live abundantly. Abundantly. Does that describe in your life? I mean, how are you living? Are you living abundantly? Would you describe it as an abundance? Well, no. No, because I need this fixed. No, because that's out of place. No, because that's broken. Or no, because there's not enough resources in this area of my life. No, I would not say that I am living abundantly. Why not? Why not? Because in everything that matters in life, Jesus has given you every spiritual blessing from heaven. That's your inheritance. That's your legacy. That's your blessings from God. So if I'm not living the abundant life, or it just doesn't feel very abundant right now, do you think I might ought to increase my knowledge of the Father and the Son? Do you think I might experience more of that abundant life that he says if I know him better? Jesus says, look, I did not come so that everyone would say, oh good, a new rabbi, a new set of rules, a new teaching, a new list of things that I can do so that God will look at me and say, okay, I can reward you for that. Jesus says, I came so that you may have life and that it be abundant, full, rich, blessed. all the good adjectives you can think of. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, so we could live. So we could live. Yeah, but what about my pain? What about my brokenness? What about my fear? What about my guilt? What about my shame? What about all that? Because all those things are preventing me from living an abundant life. Church, what should we do with those things? What do we do with those things? What did Jesus say to do with your burdens? Take them off. Put them at his feet. Put them at his feet. Let him carry them. Our Lord and Savior said, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light. It's easy. It's abundant. It's abundant. So how are we living? How are we living? The people around us describe us as those who are full of life. This is the divine nature that Peter speaks of. And Jesus is a shepherd that we follow because he died for us. It's so amazing to me. The one that really jumped out in my study this week was verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me. Wait. I thought God loved everybody. God is love. Jesus says, this is why the Father loves me. And what does he say? Oh, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This is what impresses the Father. This is what impresses the Father when you say willingly, I will give my life. I will give my life. I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. The grave did not hold our Savior, did it? No. No. But Jesus had to willingly say, I will die. I will die. I will allow myself to die. He said, that's what the Father's impressed by, because the Son lays his life down. So when we ask ourselves today, when we ask ourselves tomorrow, are we living fully? Are we living fully? Are we living abundantly? The one who made it possible gave his life for that sole purpose, for you to have an abundant life. Now and forever. That's why he gave up his life, so that you could have one. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. He died so that you can live. What a wonderful exchange. What an amazing exchange. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Jesus Christ gave his life so that I could have one. Jesus Christ died so that I could live. A price has been paid. He has ransomed me. He has ransomed me. You know, you've seen it in old movies, right? Where someone would save someone else's life and they say, I owe you a life debt. You've heard this saying? You saved my life, so now I must serve you. And we see it shown over and over again in movies and books, and everyone's always so annoyed. Like, I wouldn't have saved your life if I knew I had to take care of you, right? And so that's our idea of this life debt. When instead Jesus says, I'm going to save your life by giving up my life. You're going to want to follow me, because that's where all the good's at. And then we go around and we go, today I might follow Jesus. Might not. Today I might do what is good. I might not. Today, I don't know. Let's see. Will it be encouraging or soul crushing? I don't know yet. Will I trust him in everything or just till 9 a.m.? Will I get so worn out? Will I become so dry? Will I wither up and snap off? Because I'm not connected to his life? How you living? How you living? Let's turn over and finish in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 20. John 12:20, now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So how are we living? Are we living where Jesus lives? Are we making our home with the Savior? Or just trying to bother him when it's convenient? Are we walking with Jesus? Or have we encamped along with the enemy for too long? Are we laying down our lives? Or are we just saying, you know what? It's just so easy to go along and just chase everything else that everybody else is chasing. How are we living? You know, back in John chapter 10, I read it. It probably wasn't necessary for the lesson. But did you catch what God's people called Jesus Christ after he said all these things to him? There in John chapter 10. Did you catch what they said to him? This man has a demon. This man's doing Satan's work. This man's crazy. Church, when you walk with Jesus and you just try to do good for other people this week, the enemy has a vested interest that you will quit, that you will give up, that you will lose. Jesus brought the light of life from the Father, from heaven itself, into the world. And all he did was loved and taught and healed and led and blessed and accepted and sacrificed and gave and gave and gave and gave. And they looked at him and said, "That's Satan's work. That's Satan's work." So those words echo in our ears, don't they? When Jesus said, "Hey, if they call me working for Satan, what do you think they're going to say about you?" Well, I guess it's time that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and find out. How you living? How you living? If we're just chasing to find our life in this world like everybody else, we're going to lose it. It's going to be temporary. And it's going to be quite a loss. But if we lay down our life just like our Savior did, then we'll find it. Then we'll find it. Because it's only when the seed dies and goes in the ground that it actually produces something good. If you just put it in your pocket, it doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything. Our life has so much value when we die to ourselves. Jesus can bless us so much more than we can bless ourselves. Because he's got it all. He's got everything we want. He's got everything. So allow Jesus to forgive. Allow Jesus to forgive you. If you're sitting there this morning and the Spirit's actually convicting your heart going, "You know what? I've been playing games. I'm not living. Allow him to forgive you. Because if you walk away from this lesson, if you walk away from this scripture, if you walk away from seeing Jesus like this, just feeling shame, that's the enemy's work. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He doesn't say, okay, go home feeling guilty. Everybody who messed up, nice try. Come back next Sunday and maybe Michael will, he won't provide such a stinker. You can feel better about it. That's not what he says. He says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. That's where you find rest. You don't find rest running away and hiding. You find rest bringing it to him. Allow Jesus to forgive you. Allow Jesus to have you. Allow him to have you. Allow him to fill you with his spirit, his purpose, his eternal purposes. Because being empowered by God, we can accomplish so much more than what you and I can do on our own. Because you and I on our own, we're like that seed. You can put it in your pocket, you can put it on a shelf. It does nothing. It dies to itself and is planted in the fertile soil that God provides. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. It can bear much fruit. So I'm going to leave you with it. It's sticky, I know. It's difficult, I know. But I want us to ask this week, how are you living? Are you increasing in the knowledge of the Father and the Son? Because if you do, grace and peace are being multiplied to you. If you do, your faith is being supplemented by all these amazing things. And if you do, well, they'll probably call you crazy. Might even say you're demon-possessed. It's okay. Jesus didn't let such distractions deter him from his goal. Let's not get distracted either.